Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon. And guys, whew, deep breath. It wasn't just a dream. Arkansas did in fact lose to San Jose State 31-24. And, you know, there's a lot of things to unpack in this game. And I guess where to begin, you know, the thing that comes to my mind is Morris said he thought the team was a little loose in the pregame, and he really tried to rally the troops to make everyone focus. What do you make of Arkansas? I mean, a team that hasn't beaten a Power 5 team under Chad Morris, losing focus against San Jose State. We'll start with you, Matt.
Well, they haven't had a lot of chances to win Power 5 games, you know, playing Colorado State as the Power 5 substitute. So, you know, it really comes down to whether or not they can win in the SEC on the Power 5 point. But, you know, I was kind of thinking back on this. You see this with, I think, younger, inexperienced teams where they have that big win and then they can't come off that high. And, you know, we heard Arkansas talking all week about the Colorado State game and the club dub and all this stuff that, you know, kind of came after that win. And, you know, I was thinking back a couple of weeks ago when Colorado beat Nebraska and then they couldn't come down from that high and they lost to Air Force the next week at home, another Mountain West team. And Mountain West teams have kind of had that, kind of have the ability to do that to some teams this year. They've won their fair share of games against Power 5 teams. But as far as, you know, Arkansas losing to San Jose State, it's up there. And then I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but it's up there as one of the worst losses I can remember Arkansas ever having. And, you know, I think the fact that Arkansas couldn't win that game is really a telling sign for this team. And, you know, I think last week we were all kind of in a holding pattern, a wait-and-see mode to see how much, you know, does the Colorado State game give this team momentum moving forward? And the answer was absolutely none. I think that, you know, after watching that game last night, I think, you know, now I'm at the point that I think this is probably going to be, you know, a three-win season, maybe a four-win season if they get fortunate and win an SEC game, which I think is highly unlikely based on what we've seen from the teams that they've got left to play. And, you know, if nothing else, we know that Arkansas is going to be a big underdog against every SEC team that plays from here on out this season.
Yeah, I just think Arkansas is in a lot of trouble. Like, I think there was way too much stock put into Arkansas's win over Colorado State last weekend. Like, Colorado State's not a good team at all. Very, very bad defensively. Offensively, they've got some weapons, but still, I mean, that's a very, very mediocre to average team that Arkansas had to win. They had to beat them late. Not like they put the game away middle of the game or even a little bit after halftime. The game was still in question with like 8 or 9 minutes left. Yeah, Arkansas is just in a lot of trouble, man. Over the next month, you got one home game over the next month, or one true home game, and then you got two top 10 teams and another top 25 team, and then you got to play Kentucky on the road. This thing's going to get, I think it's going to get pretty ugly pretty quick, and patience is already incredibly thin. This thing might get ugly pretty fast.
But to your point, Scotty, Colorado State, I think, is a better team than San Jose State is.
Yeah.
I mean, at least over the past few years, during the same conference, and Colorado State has finished ahead of San Jose State. Colorado State, at least, has had some success under their head coach. San Jose State was 4-23 under Brent Brennan coming into the game last night.
Yeah.
You know, to call that loss shocking, I don't know if that really even does it justice. It was one of the most surprising losses, and not just to lose, but to lose in the manner that they did, where they got pushed around at the line of scrimmage for just about the entire game. I'm almost at a loss of words from what I saw.
Yeah, and losing a game itself is bad enough, but just, I guess, the manner in which they did it, turning the ball over. But you throw five picks, and then you got two turnovers on downs. And then San Jose State's quarterback throws for 400 yards, and they have a receiver almost go for 200. And Arkansas is just, like, never in the game. Like, they're down as many as 17. Like, they were never in it until it was, you know, too late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Scotty, you mentioned San Jose State quarterbacks throwing for over 400 yards. Why do you think Arkansas couldn't get pressure on the quarterbacks for San Jose State?
The defensive line is just not that good. Like you're having to trust and put a lot on Mateo Soli, who's playing with one hand, and you're on the other end. You've got Jamario Bell, who's playing on one leg. Like he's out there with a big bulky brace on his left knee, and like your defensive ends are like wounded warriors, man. And they can't get any push. They can't get off blocks. And I was really surprised that Sosa, a game did not. Like, we hardly heard his name called last night. Like, that's last night, Saturday night, seemed like the perfect time for him to kind of, like, impose his will on smaller offensive linemen that he typically, you would think, would kind of dominate, be able to get in the backfield and knock the quarterback off his spot, maybe get some tackles for loss and a sack, and they didn't show up. That defensive line, man, is just struggling. And I think part of it, too, the reason they didn't get much pressure is because Arkansas' secondary was also – playing 10, 15 yards off the ball, and that allows for quick throws, and Arkansas' defensive line can't get in the backfield.
Yeah, San Jose State saw something on film, and it was obvious on those first few drives that they were going to just pick apart Arkansas's, you know, as long as Arkansas would let them with those quick slant passes. And mm-hmm. You can't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback whenever he's getting the ball out of his hands that quickly. Josh Love said after the game that they had seen something on film with Arkansas' safeties.
Yeah,
that they felt like they could get some yardage, you know, in those underneath plays, and they weren't necessarily big yardage gains all the time, but when you're getting 6 and 7 yards every throw, you know, you're going to get down the field, and that's what they did on that first drive. They had the big play, obviously, on the opening play of the game, but then it was just everything underneath, and you know, even there was a point in the game, I can't remember what it was. It was in the second half at some point. 3rd and 8, Arkansas has five safeties playing 15 yards back. Mm-hmm. And the San Jose State receiver kind of catches it underneath. Arkansas has not been a good tackling team this year. Arkansas misses a tackle, and he kind of scoots up field for 9 or 10 yards and gets the first down. And, you know, it was clear to me that they had seen something on film that they could take the advantage of soft areas and open spots in the Arkansas defense, and they just exploited it time and time again, whether it be the first play, whether it be the quick slants. They were a step ahead of Arkansas's defense just about the entire game up until, you know, maybe end of third quarter and end of the fourth quarter. Arkansas was able to make some plays, and you know, but when it came time for them to make plays at the end of the game, they couldn't do it. And, you know, this defense, it's certainly not what I thought it would be this season. I think probably I – overvalued the defense. I think I probably underestimated just how many younger players, first and second year players, they're going to have to rely on. And this is what you see. But man, if San Jose State is able to do that to the Razorbacks, I can only imagine what, you know, your better offensive coaches like Jimbo Fisher and the coaches at Alabama, and you see what LSU is doing right now. You got to believe those teams are going to have field days against Arkansas if they can't figure out a way to get this cleaned up. And I don't know how you get it cleaned up with the amount of inexperience they have on defense.
So
yeah, and Colorado State went for 425 yards last week. San Jose State at 503. So that's not over 900 yards of offense given up to Mountain West teams in back-to-back weeks, man. Like Chad was saying Saturday night after the game, that everybody, as far as staff, coaches, players on down, are going to be held accountable. I wonder what he means by that. What might come of that? This defense is rather ugly right now.
As kind of
too many big plays for giving up.
Yeah, what you're talking about. That's kind of the next question I wanted to, you know, ask y'all is it a scheme issue or is it just a talent issue?
I don't know. I would say probably a little bit of both. You know, I mean, the better talent you have, all of a sudden your scheme looks a lot better. And but, man, you go back and you look at John Chavis's defenses at Texas A&M, they were doing the same thing there. They weren't able to slow anybody down. His three defenses at A&M ranked 51st, 78th, and 90th nationally in total defense. And so it's been a while since he's been able to field a dominant defense. The question when he was hired, it was, you know, the question in everybody's mind, was it talent at A&M or was it scheme? And, you know, now that we're about 5 years removed from his last year at LSU, where they struggled too in his last year, it's beginning to look more and more like the scheme that he runs is not able to keep up with the type of offenses that are prevalent around college football anymore.
Yeah, I don't know that Chavis or the defensive staff just has answers right now for like the types of offenses that Arkansas is going to see. I mean, that's like you would think that last night, you know, San Jose State hits a couple of big plays in the passing game, make adjustments, maybe some of that gets shored up, and you don't, you know, Arkansas, you figure might be able to limit them, you know, the second quarter on, and man, it just didn't happen. I don't know, how many plays did you say, Matt, that San Jose State had of like 12-plus yards? Like, it was
21 plays of 12 yards or more, including 12 in the first half.
That is unbelievable. And that's a lack of adjustments. It's a lack of, I don't know, just shows a lack of answers. And, you know, I will say that, you know, they've been really high on Greg Brooks at the nickelback spot, but he is a freshman. He's, like, just played in his fourth game, and Ladarius Bishop was making his first start, so they picked on those guys quite a bit. But, man, they even went after Jarquez McClellan, too. You know, he's not exactly the most seasoned guy, but he played a lot last year. They just got picked on, man. It was pretty tough to watch. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen on the defensive side of the ball this week.
Well, that's the point, Scotty. I mean, there are older players in the secondary or second-year players.
Yeah.
Players like Fouché and Miles Mason and Jarquez McClellan. They're just so young in the secondary, and that is an area, I think probably outside of the offensive line, that is the area of the field where youth can get exposed the quickest. And, man, you're seeing it right now in both of those positions for this team.
Yeah, they are young in the secondary, but, I mean, you can definitely tell where the fans' frustration is coming from as well, because even though they are young, you know, to give up that many yards to San Jose State just seems unacceptable.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're right. San Jose State and Colorado State, they both come from – you mentioned that they've given up 900 yards the last 2 weeks. The Mountain West is an offensive conference. There is not a lot of really good defense played in that league. Boise State, you know, typically will put together a pretty good defense. I think Craig Bowl at Wyoming, he's got a pretty good defense most years. But outside of that, you just don't see a lot of defense. So these are you know, whether it be Colorado State with Mike Bobo or San Jose State last night, these are some teams that are very offensive-minded, if you will. If you cut them open, what's their identity? They're offensive teams, but still, you shouldn't be giving up those types of yards to those types of teams. And I think that Arkansas is probably looking at an October like they had last year when Alabama had 630-something yards and Ole Miss had 670-something yards. I really think that they're going to be in a world of hurt when they start playing these really talented teams with good quarterbacks in the next several weeks. Because let's face it, guys, they didn't play a very strong schedule the first month of the season, and they're going to come out of it at 2-2. And now here comes the real teeth of the schedule with A&M and Kentucky and Alabama and, you know, even Mississippi State. It doesn't look pretty for them over the next few weeks unless something drastic changes. And based on what I've seen so far, I just don't know what it's going to.
Yeah, and Josh Love is a solid quarterback, I think, probably a pretty good Mountain West quarterback. Trey Walker, you know, I figure he's probably going to be up for, you know, all conference honors there. But, you know, Arkansas's got Kellen Mond this week, and they've got two receivers, Kendrick Rogers and Javon Osvin.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are probably very excited to get to Saturday, I would imagine. They're probably just licking their chops to get a chance to go up against Arkansas secondary.
And frustrated too, based on what happened against Auburn.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Starkle threw 5 interceptions. As we go to the other side of the ball, he tweeted this morning that he ripped his Bieber T-shirt. Is he still the man moving forward for these Arkansas Razorbacks? We'll start with you, Matt.
I don't think the Bieber T-shirt had anything to do with the interceptions.
No,
I mean he had 2 or 3 other passes that could have easily been intercepted. I don't know if it was a, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the game, but just kind of watching live, I don't know if it was a, an instance maybe where he was staring down his receivers. It looked to me more so that he was just making bad decisions, throwing into, I don't, maybe they were doing something with their coverages that were confusing him, disguising some things, but it seemed like on at least two, maybe three of those interceptions, he just threw it into double, triple coverage, and the defenders were able to come down with it. I think he's the quarterback for Arkansas. I think that, you know, even with the warts, he's clearly better than Ben Hicks. Ben, you know, Hicks wasn't able to move the offense the first two games. And if you're not able to move it against Portland State or Ole Miss, you know, what are you going to do when the SEC schedule gets tough here in a couple of weeks? So, you know, even with all the struggles that Starkle had last night, Arkansas still had 487 yards. They still had 26 first downs, and they still had a chance to win the game at the end of the game. And to a certain extent, that's Nick Starkle. I mean, he made some really good passes, some good decisions in the fourth quarter that was able to get them back in the game and get it tied up. You know, but that's kind of the risk you take with having a quarterback like Starkle. He's going to make some really big plays for you, but he's also going to make some mistakes. And that's the difference between he and a quarterback like Hicks, who is not going to give you so many big plays, but he's probably going to limit the mistakes. And so you just kind of have to, you know, decide which one is better. And I think for Arkansas, especially with the problems they're having on defense, you've got to have the quarterback who's going to give you the chance to make big plays and just hope he can limit his mistakes and learn from them as the year goes along.
Yeah, I think he's still the guy moving forward, like, regardless. I think he still gives you at the win, best chance to move the ball, best chance to score points. My thing is, you know, if he's pressing when Arkansas is down 24-7 in the first quarter to a Mountain West school, what's his mindset going to be like playing in an NFL stadium against his old team? You know, kind of the the team's got his back against the wall, and he's kind of in charge of, you know, he's running things. And, you know, he was pretty tore up and beaten up. He beat himself up pretty good after the game on Saturday. And he said that, you know, he probably wasn't as focused as he needed to be during the week, which, you know, that tells me that he was, you know, peeking ahead to next week. You know, whether he admits it or not, that's a really big deal to him, playing A&M, getting a chance to beat his old school. Maybe he wasn't as into the game and focused as he needed to be. But yeah, I think he's the guy moving forward. I can't imagine Arkansas running John Stephen Jones or KJ Jefferson out there at this point, or even Ben Hicks.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of Starkle and his Bieber shirt, you know, there's another gimmick, Club Dub. I think we need to have a moment of silence for Club Dub. September 14th, 2019 to September 21st, 2019.
Yeah,
RIP to Club Dub. All right, guys. The honeymoon is over. You know, the excuses are over for Morris. I know winning will help if Morris and the Razorbacks can win. But after this performance, what would have to happen in your eyes for this season to be considered a success? We'll go with you, Scotty.
Oh, man. I think at this point, if Arkansas reaches the bowl game, like, it would be a pretty big miracle.
Yeah. That's what I was going with.
Yeah, this team just got so many holes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, if Starkle can just play within himself and better his decision making, which I know that's a very big if, but if that does happen, you know, he's got some weapons, man, like Rakeem Boyd, Dine O'Grady, Mike Woods. We saw Mike Woods play really well on Saturday, had a couple big catches, one for a touchdown. Trey Knox, even though he's a true freshman, is probably playing as well as anyone on the offensive side of the ball. You just look around at some of the guys that they've got on the offensive side, you wonder why it's not working as well as it should on paper. Maybe it's some of that offensive line play, and obviously you can't turn the ball over five times. But man, if this team gets to a bowl game, that would be some miracle. I just don't see it happening. So I don't know that it can be a success at this point.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they were even able to get anywhere near that. I don't think this season could be a success. And I guess it really kind of depends on your definition of it. But You know, I think that, you know, maybe the question becomes, can he do enough this year to earn himself a third year? And what are some of the requirements that can get him to that third season? Because if they go 0-8 in the SEC again, guys, you're talking about 0-16, and maybe they beat Western Kentucky, so 3-9 overall, so that'd be 5-19 in 2 years. Those aren't the types of numbers that are going to – you can't sell those types of numbers. You can't ask your season ticket holders to come back and pay for season tickets. It feels like we're back in 2017 again. Yesterday kind of felt to me like a little bit of an awakening, kind of like the South Carolina game in Brett Bielema's final season, where it was like, I don't know that they can get themselves out of this. And maybe Morris can get himself out of this, but is he going to be able to have enough time to do it? Because that's the one thing working against him, is what his predecessor was not able to do. He was not able to win games. And so, you know, maybe unfairly to a certain extent, you know, Chad Morris inherits, you know, a really high pressure situation that's, you know, maybe untenable. I don't know. But as far as, you know, what I expect the rest of the season, I think if they could win one SEC game, it would be a little bit of a surprise to me, because I just look at the other SEC teams they have left. They've got seven left, and every one of those teams, like I said earlier, is going to be a big favorite, I think, in their games, probably a double-digit favorite in most instances, if not all instances. And they're much better teams along the lines. And that's where Arkansas, you know, you saw last night against San Jose State, they did not play well along the lines, offensive or defensive, for you know, at least the early part of the game, and really even had some struggles in those areas in the second half. And Ole Miss may be the worst line team that they're going to play in the SEC this year. And that game's gone. They lost it. And now you got to go play teams like Texas A&M, who is really good along the lines, Alabama and LSU and Auburn. You know what you're going to get there. Kentucky has kind of become a line of scrimmage program, and Mississippi State too. I just look at their schedule the rest of the way and think that, you know, it's going to be very difficult for them to have a lot of success based on the type of line play that they're getting ready to see. I don't think they've seen anything from a defensive line standpoint like they're getting ready to see over the next month. And, you know, from a, you know, from an offensive line standpoint, what other teams have, you know, you're talking about teams like Alabama and LSU and Auburn that are filled with potential, you know, high round NFL draft picks along those offensive lines. And even, you know, some of these other schools too. I just think it's going to be really difficult for them the rest of this season. And so, you know, as far as, you know, what you consider a success, I think it's going to be, it's going to differ from person to person, but it does not look very good if you can't beat a team like San Jose State.
Yeah, Matt answered this question that I had in his answer, so I'll send this to you, Scotty, before we wrap it up here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. What does Morris, in your eyes, need to do this year to keep his job?
Man, I think that's a good question. You know, maybe some changes are called for on either side of the ball. I know John Chavis and Joe Craddock are under quite a bit of heat, obviously, after the loss. But I think it kind of goes back to maybe Matt's conversation with Hunter Yurecek about why Mike Anderson was, you know, why he was let go when he was. And Yurecek told Matt, you know, I think he could have held on to the job if he'd have shown a little bit more vision for the program in the future. Chad's got to keep doing that. He's got to couple the recruiting success, which has been fine to this point, but he's got to couple it with on-field success. And then, like, I don't know, Arkansas might have to pull a couple of upsets and just to keep the fan base interested. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see a whole lot of hope. I don't know. They've got to show something that will give some people some excitement for the future, but I don't know exactly what that is.
But the thing to remember, guys, is that the season can change. When Arkansas lost to Toledo in 2015, people were writing off the season at that point, and that ended up becoming a team that went 5-3 in the SEC. So they can grow throughout the season, but I just don't think that this team has got the talent to have that type of turnaround to lose to
this team that they've beaten. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, so we're projecting that they lose all these games. And if that happens, you got to think of a couple of things. Number one is this athletic director is not the one who picked Chad Morris. And I also think that you have to think about Juracek. I think he has spent his entire close to 2 years now in Fayetteville kind of learning from the mistakes that his predecessor made. And one of the big mistakes that Jeff Long made in a lot of people's eyes is that he held on to Brett Bielema maybe longer than people would have liked. Or at least he gave him that public vote of confidence, if you will, public support, even when things were going really, really badly in 2017. And so those are just a couple of things I think about. But, yeah, I think back to that conversation about Mike Anderson. It was a question I asked in the press conference when Eric Musselman was hired. What could Mike Anderson have done? Mike Anderson was I'm not going to say he was a great basketball coach, but he did really good things for the Arkansas basketball program and even had a winning record in the season in which he was fired. And so this AD has already shown that he's willing to make some tough decisions. And I don't think that there's going to be a tougher decision that he can make than to potentially have to let go of a football coach after two seasons. Is it something that he's willing to do? Is it something that's financially, viable? Those are all questions that I'm not sure, but I think that this is going to be really interesting to see how the next couple of months play out. First, can Arkansas field a better football team than what we saw against San Jose State? Because that was a bad, bad performance by this football program. One of the you go back, you think about when they lost to ULM, they were a 30-point favorite. They lost to Toledo in 2015. I referenced that game. They lost to North Texas last year. All of those teams were really good teams, 10-win, 9-win, 8-win teams. I don't see San Jose State getting anywhere near that level. So can Arkansas field a better team over the next couple of months? And if they can't, then it's going to be really interesting to see what happens the week of Thanksgiving. Because if they have the type of record that it's kind of looking like they're going to have, there's going to be a lot of upset people, with this program, even more upset than maybe they are after that loss last night.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time. That's Scotty Bordelon and Matt Jones with Whole Hog Sports. You can read all of their articles online at wholehogsports.com. They will keep you updated on everything going on before the Arkansas Razorbacks play the Texas A&M Aggies this weekend at 11 a.m. in Jerry World. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and stay tuned and make sure to like and subscribe, because the Whole Hog Podcast drops every Thursday with new content, talking about a roundtable, talking with somebody from the other team, as well as a good story to go along with it. So make sure to subscribe to that on this channel right here where you found this podcast. Well, we'll see you later this week. Until then, have a great rest of your week.